just flew into Duluth, went into Carnegie, and that, so I didn't even much of that.
Didn't cross the aerial lift bridge.
I have no idea if it was.
She went to Superior.
Pardon?
I think it goes up and across into the summit.
Oh, okay.
It's neither here nor there. Never mind.
Welcome to the March 23rd, 2011 Landmarks Preservation Commission meeting. First item on the agenda is roll call. Commissioners present, Chair McIntyre, Vice Chair Maddox, Commissioners Pham, King, Sundell, and House. We have a quorum. Second item on the agenda is consent agenda, excusal of absences. Those commissioners who have called in, ex officio McClintock, Commissioners Eckley, Al-Janabi, York, and I think we can safely assume that Commissioner Luce will be also absent. Proceeding on, item three, design review, old business, 815 through 819 Pacific Avenue, Olympus Hotel, Old City Hall. Kent McLaren, do you want to come up and join us at the microphone, and we will begin with a staff report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is the Olympus Hotel, 815, 819 Pacific Avenue in the Old City Hall Historic District. At its March 9th meeting, the commission voted to defer a decision on the window replacement proposal and requested additional information as well as a site visit. And that was conducted on March 18th on Friday. The applicant provided a revision to the proposal, which is enclosed and also summarized below. The current proposal includes the rationale to replace the windows, including a background on the ownership and objectives of the project, program funding, consultant team information, program analysis, project scope, including energy efficiency and resident comfort, durability, moisture resistance, and indoor air quality, operability, air quality, operating costs, minimize disruption to tenant, and comply with the state ESDS mandate. Also included is information on repair, boiler, and exhaust fan replacements. The revised proposal includes on the Pacific Avenue, which is a west elevation, replace all existing wood windows on the second floor and above with custom manufactured wood replica units with insulated glass matching the existing profiles and lugs on the upper sash rails. And the applicants have brought in a example unit, which I would encourage the commissioners to feel free to get up and go look at more closely, because it's rather heavy and we won't be passing it around. The north and south elevations, existing fire-rated metal windows with new rated units fixed upper glazing and awning-style operation below for safety. And then on the rear east elevation, replacing the existing wood windows with metal-clad wood windows to match the existing windows with a 6-over-1 pattern, rail styles and muntins. Additionally, windowsill repair of cracked sills on the east and west elevations with Cyplast ParaPro Fluid Applied PMMA product, reinforced with polyester matte material, retaining the original dimensions, character, and color of the existing sills. Now on the north and south elevations, they prefer to use the galvanized metal sill covering system for the fire-rated window openings, which includes a slight vertical lip extending over the top edge of the existing sill, and that would be visible from the street. A copy of the March 9th staff report and summary of commission comments from that meeting are enclosed at the end of this report as well. And I was not present at the commission's site visit, but those commissioners who were present may also want to offer observations. And that concludes the staff report.
Okay. Let's see. Who did attend this site report? I did. Commissioner Pham. We're the only two that are here today.
Yeah, and Ed Eckley.
Okay, I will read Ed Eckley's comments that he sent in. After a visit, I believe the windows we observed at the Olympus are not beyond restoration. That said, I am aware of the cost considerations faced by the owners and understand their desire to complete the work quickly and within current energy guidelines. I therefore feel the replacements are acceptable in this particular situation, although my preference is restoration. Ed. Commissioner Pham.
I
actually took some pictures of the detail windows, and I don't know if you guys took additional photos as well, but for me personally, looking at all those windows, I feel like they're in excellent condition. They're still operable. I mean, there's probably some minor repairs, minor touch-up paints, and probably just, you know, some balancing of the weights. But other than that, the windows are in excellent condition.
Oh, well.
I mean, I've seen windows that are in worse condition than what you guys have, and they can still be restorable. So that's my comment. So I don't feel like they should be replaced at all.
I would have to agree with Commissioner Pham, but at this point I would like to allow the applicants to present their case.
I'm going to start off, and again, I'm Matthew Horowitz. I work with Common Ground. We're the development consultant for the owner-operator Korean Women's Association. And I want to thank the committee for hearing for a second round here, and thank the three members that came to the hotel site on Friday and visited. I think that was instructive for all of us, including myself, to learn something about how you identify your date building components that I wasn't aware of. I would like to, I guess, address what seems to be the key issue here, which is basically that I, too, agree with Commissioner Pham that the windows are restorable. I think that we may have in some way misrepresented that it was really the condition of the windows that led to our proposal for replacement. And in fact, we're aware that although some of them do require extensive repair and adjustment and calibration, we're more concerned with the ability of the owner to maintain the windows to provide both resident comfort and limited utility bills for the residents who are all low income. This is a low income project, and by covenant, they need to maintain that owner profile for a period of 40 years. So there's, and we've talked about this during the site visit, that we have in KWA's, the owner's best interest to try and limit the amount of maintenance and constant adjustment and calibration of the windows that are there. That's part of what informed our team's decision to recommend replacement. So having said that sort of taking that, not argument, but that factor off the table, that yes, they are restorable. And we also took into consideration, I think, Commissioner Pham's suggestion that we should have looked at storm windows, which in fact we had. And I think the submission that I sent in last week included a quote from Legacy Restoration, which I believe this group is familiar with. They have a very good reputation for doing historically accurate and sensitive work. They've been along with the team all along as part of our consultant team. So this unit is actually they're doing. So we did look at storm windows, and unfortunately I had a sample storm window at the office that was dropped off this morning, and I cleverly left it there. But let me address something, a couple reasons why the storms, we believe, are not a viable option. The first issue is cost. That if you put the cost of installing storms, whether it be interior or exterior, on top of the cost to do a full restoration, that is an increment, a significant increment, above all the other options of either just full-out repair with no storms or full-out replacement with a high-quality, high-performance puzzle of windows. So cost is one issue, but primarily our concern is that the population that that the funding is meant to serve for the building includes people that tend to put a lot of stress on their environment. And the operation will not be the sort of operation that someone who owns and has a personal investment in that home. So there's a lot of concern about adding another layer of movable parts, as well as parts that could be fairly easily damaged and become a significant problem for KWA to maintain over the long haul, providing replacement parts. So we feel that from a use standpoint, durability, that it's exposing KWA to not insignificant liability in terms of sort of long-term, again, maintenance of the building. We looked at interior storms and felt that in some ways that would be the best way to address this commission's concern in terms of preserving the exterior as it is now. Of course, that would be coupled with rebuilding the exterior windows. But with the interior storms, we have two different issues. One, again, I've just addressed in terms of the durability, the abuse that those units would get. And the second one is simply that you have to go through two separate operations, including getting the primary window properly latched tight, which is what pulls the whole assembly together. It creates a weather-tight seal. So if you can't sort of get through that additional second or third step, you end up with a package that really doesn't give you the energy benefits that you would expect of having the storms on top of rebuilt existing. We then, of course, looked at the exterior option, and this is all through Legacy provided us with quotes and some information on this. The concern there is that they're, again, yet another increment more expensive than the interiors. Additionally, they're harder to install, and most importantly, you can't clean them. You just can't get to the outside of them. So very quickly, we're going to end up with something that either poses a potential safety issue with residents leaning out trying to clean a storm that's not very accessible, even though the exterior storm will, in some ways, protect the historic existing wood window. Probably the single biggest downside, I would think, would be more of the commission's interest, which is the exterior storm really will cover the existing historic units. You get the reflection of another layer of glazing, and you have the, even though it's a sensitive, fairly thin profile storm window design, it would still be a very visible change from what we have there now. So those are the reasons why we thought that storm windows were not an option, and thus sort of trying to get back to the logic here that if we were to not go with storm windows and look at a thorough repair of what we have there right now, we don't gain the energy efficiencies, we don't gain the durability and long-term lowering of maintenance costs as well. So we do understand from a historic perspective that is clearly looking at the outside of the building is this wonderful contributor to the historic neighborhood. From an ownership standpoint and for the long-term preservation of the building and the housing, we still feel that we can satisfy the historic look of the building while providing these other benefits with these sort of high-end replacement units.
Any other comments?
There's, along with that, what Matthew said, there's also an issue of weatherability with moisture penetrating to the inside of the building that we're hoping to solve in some improved construction detailing, which is necessitating some of, beyond the issue of the condition of the windows, they have to come out of those openings to address some of the moisture penetration issues that we have from those openings right now as well. So we're hoping also to solve of those conditions and the degradation of the masonry and the exterior envelope of the building through the process of window replacement.
Okay, at this time I would like to open up the conversation to commissioners for questions and comments.
Actually, didn't he say he had some additional photos?
Do you have additional photos?
Yeah, what we didn't have last time is we took some example photos, you know, and I guess I'm an architect with BCRA. I've done renovation projects. I've worked with on restoration projects, but because we knew we'd be here, we let a firm who does this work every day, restores windows, repairs windows, be sort of the de facto standard of what the conditions of the windows are, be they poor, fair, good, or excellent. So with that, we have a report that we would like to be deemed as the standard by which we're judging the condition of these windows. These are just a couple of photos of representative openings that were given to us. I think this was one that was considered fair condition or poor condition. I'm sorry. And that was in Unit 411. I think we had three representative window samples of that one. Or four photos, excuse me. I'll go back to fair condition. Next, one considered in good condition.
That's a modern window.
Yeah, that's one of the five replacement units on the east elevation of the building. Kent, if I could add one other thought to just would be helpful, I think, for us. We, again, appreciate your time, but we're also now running out of time in terms of proceeding. So the hope is that we have some final direction from the committee. I'm not sure whether the process allows for that tonight, but we're also proposed to talk about further scenarios if, again, that's permissible, or the commission has time if they feel that currently the proposal we have in front of you is close but not quite there.
Go ahead.
I would like to know more about the metal windows as well, and I haven't seen that addressed. What are the existing profiles and elevations, and what would be the new? I was hoping we'd have that information too. And the last time we had a package, I don't think that you were even proposing an awning. Wasn't it double hung?
For the metal window?
Yes.
For the steel windows.
The steel windows.
Yeah.
Those
right.
are in the north and south
right.
elevation.
Has that changed now?
The difference, and I wasn't aware of it when I think we met the first time, maybe you were, Kent, but it was news to me from Troy that the manufacturer of the metal windows no longer can make a fire-rated double-hung unit. So all they really have to offer. I think I stated in my submission that it was a code requirement that apparently I think is incorrect, and really the information we got from Troy was not that it wasn't code appropriate, but just that the manufacturer doesn't make a double hung unit. The awning unit has other advantages to it, particularly on the most exposed south elevation. That's the large one. You have
right.
a 2/2 mm-hmm. pattern right now. The large ones are double hung, but then there's a series of smaller ones that are awnings or casements, I believe. We looked
right.
at it, one of the units upstairs on the north side. So there's a variety of operable styles. The proposal we have would be to replace with fixed light above with a divided sort of design to, again, mimic the existing profile of the window. The bottom one, I'm not sure we could get the divided one and still have the awning capacity. I suppose we could. So it would still, again, appear like a metal window as it does now, but 2/2. But again, the operation would be different, would be considerably safer, and most importantly, considerably easier to maintain. All the moving parts are accessible. They're inside. You can insulate the cavities for the sash weights, which gives us, again, an additional thermal performance benefit to further reduce utility expenses for the residents of the building.
One of the things that, just from the staff perspective, we've been working with Common Ground to try to come up with both a sort of a measured response and at the same time meeting the commission's needs following the discussion at the last meeting. And one of the things that came up, of course, is that the building is being treated now with several different elevations, if you will. So there's a primary facade of the building which faces Pacific Avenue, which is a different treatment proposed than the side elevations, and then the rear elevations. Really, the focus has been on the those windows on the Pacific Avenue side, especially from an architectural standpoint and from a historic significance standpoint. That facade would be considered the most contributing element, the primary. And one thing I guess I would like to know from the commission I know there's some good discussion that needs to occur on the other parts of the building, but really some guidance on this first piece, which is the primary elevation on the building. What is proposed here at this time now is essentially what we've treated in the past anyways is more or less an in-kind replacement. They're not exactly the same because they're not weighted and there are thermal pane windows. And I think describing the window a little bit might help, and people can go up and look at it. I'm suggesting for the commission's consideration we tackle this one and really get that, if that's all right, because it's kind of critical. And and so what you have, what this is basically it's a CVG window with the sash lugs on it that are as they are on the existing building. I think they're going to replicate in dimensions of the different elements in the window. I believe that's probably a simulated divided light that has a spacer in it.
That's right. This is, but it does have interior metal spacers as well, both for reinforcement
for shadowing. The reason for that is, based on my experience with these things, is that number one, that true divided light that has a thermal pane window actually has to have a heavier dimension, and then you can't match it in profile. And the second thing, of course, is that if you have six panes in a thermal pane window sash, you've just multiplied your cost by six.
As well as having a thermal break.
Right.
Makes it less efficient.
And so, in general, these are actually a better visual match than a true divided light window. And so, at any rate, this commission has approved window replacements and window restoration in the past. This is probably the closest window replacement proposal you'd ever get, this short of restoration, just in the general spectrum of things. So I think that and this is really where, in terms of this project cost, as the proposal currently sits, where the money is, I think, for windows. And so addressing those issues, I think having direction or closure on that particular piece, I think, would be very helpful.
Well, I have to say that I was very happy to see the proposal come through with a replacement wood window, not plaid of any kind. That made me very happy. It pains me, the idea of getting rid of perfectly good windows, but I would be for this proposal based on energy and efficiency for the building, maintenance, and also considering that the population that it's serving is worthy of a good window, and I'm conflicted, but I would vote for this on this facade. I would be happy with that.
How do you feel about the steel windows on the north and south facades?
I don't feel like I've gotten the information on them.
It's important to note that on the north and south facades, I've shown some elevations here, particularly the larger ones. Those were windows that were added in 1999 as part of the renovation during that to repurpose this building for affordable housing. In order to get the number of residential units within the building, there needed to be more windows plugged into those elevations for the layout of the residential units inside. So some of those, particularly the larger ones that you see on this elevation, they've only been there since 1999.
That's actually the north elevation?
This is the south.
South.
Okay. South elevation.
So there were no windows on the sides at all?
There were only a couple. These small ones, I believe, were the only ones that were existing.
I
can page to those just a moment. Yeah.
They are a mixture, because I know some of the metal units are predate that rehab.
Right. So the smaller ones that you see without the division in them are typically the ones that were added as part of the 1999 renovation.
Too big.
So the windows that you see with the horizontal vertical mullions with them are the added windows per the 99 renovation.
I'm wondering whether it would be possible to provide product cuts or samples of the metal windows, and maybe if a decision can be made tonight, at least on these more critical elevations, the front, the east, and the west.
Correct.
You can certainly follow up with more information for the commission on the replacement metal units, which I haven't actually seen a sample of myself either, but I'm sure we can get one from Troy fairly.
Do you know the
manufacturer? Yeah.
Okay.
Do you know the manufacturer?
Is it Allied? Is the Storm manufacturer?
I don't recall on the steel windows.
There was one company in particular.
Okay.
That Legacy recommended. I can't remember.
For storm window?
No, this is for the metal replacement.
This hasn't been asked yet, but for the existing windows on Pacific side, well, for the windows generally, is there a salvage plan at all?
We did look at that, and where did that fall out? Do you recall, Kent? I think the lead paint posed a problem in terms of he normally provides the windows to second use, the restore, these architectural salvage outfits, but I think...
Troy Axe with Legacy Renovation did address that issue. Since I don't have it in writing, I guess I'm reluctant to quote it off of memory.
I think it's in one of the letters.
Is it in the report?
He has a narrative for the replacement that I submitted with.
Yes.
And it could be buried in there.
Well, while you guys are looking, I feel like this conversation is going towards to approving the replacement windows, so I want to put my two cents in and actually voice my concerns about this. So obviously there are three components here that I'm willing to compromise with: the north, south, and east. In terms of the west elevation, was the main elevation facing Pacific. I do not approve for the replacement of the windows, just because of the fact that these windows are in excellent condition. And even though you've stated all these different reasons as to why you need to replace these windows, I feel like there are solutions to all of these issues that you have presented. And, you know, you kept bringing up the idea of energy efficient, but there are documented studies on the fact that historic windows are performing a lot better than new replacement windows. Granted, the replacement window is beautifully crafted, but the historic windows are built on the fact that they're able to ventilate and be able to air out any moisture that's entering the building. So I just don't see the fact that there's a need for that replacement, especially on a main facade that is so historically significant and so important to that main Pacific Ave. So that's my opinion. So.
I appreciate your patience and your work on this, and I really appreciate learning about the purpose and the function of the Korean Women's Association. And politically and socially, I'm very impressed with what they're doing. I think, however, and I also apologize I wasn't able to be at the site visit, hearing Commissioner Eckley and Fahm and McIntyre speak about the windows and also Sundahl, I'm also willing to focus only on Pacific Avenue and to compromise on the other facades, but I think I'm a little more conservative than Pamela is. I think I would agree that I would like to see, if possible, or not if possible, I'd like to see the restoration on Pacific Avenue, because looking at the photos, I think what I was seeing is what's deemed poor there is really, to fair or good. I feel like the Secretary of Interior standards is really, the issue is to restore. I don't know that I would certainly not be completely upset if that window is chosen, but my vote at this point would be for restoration first on that facade.
And the issues with maintenance is that, you know, every windows will need maintenance plan to it, whether or not it's a replacement window or historic windows. So I don't think maintenance should be a major reason for replacing the windows. And in terms of the storm windows, as I mentioned, there's so many options. I mean, because I think you mentioned something about the fact that there might be difficulty for the residents, or that they have to deal with the issues of taking them off and storing them in places that might even destroy the interior storm window. And there are options where you can actually have the storm window, because I myself actually seen it, because we're working on the same thing, as I mentioned before. So there are options of storm windows where you can actually have it stored. It's operable on both ends, whether you can open on top or bottom, and it can even be stored like directly in place. And your windows, it's a perfect example that there's a possibility that you can restore it and put an interior storm window that's allowed for energy efficiency. So, I was just going to ask.
Okay.
I think I mentioned at the last meeting about the possibility of a rolling restoration, basically restore some now, and save some for later where you get more funding?
There's no guarantee of further funding at this point. So we have a very specific set of grants to use. This has been identified as the number one priority of all the needs for that building, is to preserve the exterior, both in terms of preservation of the looks of the building, but certainly the function of the building as well. I would like to just respond a couple to your suggestions, Ms. Fong. One is in terms of, I think you are mischaracterizing the way that mechanical systems and air replacement works. We don't rely on loosely fit rattly windows to provide ventilation. You want to have controlled ventilation, in the same way that we've now added controlled exhaust to the unit. So from a mechanical standpoint and the code standpoint, I agree you do need to open the windows to provide fresh air makeup, but you want to have that controlled such that when you don't need that fresh air, you have a nice tight seal that prevents cold drafts and from using more energy to provide heat. So that's one piece. The piece on the storms, and I wish I had brought the sample, because I do agree. There are a number of options out there in terms of custom wood storm windows, which I would certainly not recommend from a maintenance standpoint. Now, we've got two series of well-crafted and attractive materials that degrade very quickly if not kept up on a very regular basis. The aluminum windows that we've considered, again, we've looked at them from an interior and an exterior standpoint, and they both have their clear disadvantages in terms of the population, the operation of the window, and I think most importantly, again, that unless you have residents that are all uniformly careful about making sure that both the primary and the storm, whether it be an interior or an exterior, are closed properly, you've easily defeated whatever gains you'd have if they were used correctly. So that and these other issues about the ease of which they can be damaged and broken, and providing replacement parts can be done, but it's right now the management of the facility is, as we talked when you were visiting, we don't have great operating subsidies on this building. That's just the reality of affordable housing these days. So we're trying to get the biggest bang with the limited funds we have now to minimize those costs going forward, so KWA can successfully keep this building looking good for the community for those 40 years that they were in it, or the first 40 years managing it as affordable housing.
Are there other comments or questions from commissioners?
I really respect and appreciate all the work that gone into to find a window replacement. It's beautiful. I mean, it's that is, you know, the absolute ideal in terms of in-kind replacement, for sure. And I'm also sorry that I was not able to make the site visit the other day. But I would have to agree with commissioners on the house that it's, I think it's just our mandate as a commission to encourage restoration and rehabilitation in every case. And I would also be very conservative on this. I guess I would be more inclined to compromise on the facades that are not the Pacific Avenue facade, but I would also be inclined to encourage restoration and rehabilitation of those other facades as well. But I am, the one thing that did concern me that hasn't seemed to come up at all was when you mentioned moisture intrusion in the building.
Mm-hmm.
But that was such a quick mention. I didn't understand. Is that a major issue for the building?
It is, because our building sciences group has found that through the sills of some of these, particularly on the west and south sides, there's moisture migration into the wall cavity from improper detailing, improper flashing conditions. And so we're hoping to remedy that situation as well through the process of window replacement. We have more challenges on the south elevation, but I think by what we've heard already from at least what we are anticipating in ongoing discussions with Ruben, that there's some more flexibility in the windows used there because of the, I would generally say, the non-historic nature of those windows to deal with the water intrusion problems on the south elevation.
So the water intrusion problems are actually more limited to the more modern windows that have been improved and replaced then?
The exterior sills on that side really have no slope to them. In some cases, the slope is towards the interior of the building, so the water's collecting on the deep sill and flowing into the interior of the building. And so what's necessary on those is that the window be constructed at a shorter vertical height for the new windows to allow us to do a built-up sill that gives us positive drainage from that sill to the exterior face of the building.
Are there other comments or questions? I think in the crafting of the motions, we should do it in two parts. One, the first motion dealing with the west facade, and the second motion dealing with the three other facades. Is that amenable?
That's fine. I think if it's correct, what I'm hearing is that the three non-primary elevations, that seems to be, there's not a tremendous amount of concern, although there is some desire to see cut sheets or specifications on the sidewall windows, which
right.
I think we can either provide with the applicant back to the commission or take care of as an administrative review with guidance from this commission. Regarding the Pacific Avenue facade, main elevation, what I'm hearing is there are some commissioners that are comfortable with an in-kind replacement using these based on the example shown here, as well as commissioners who feel as though that the evidence that's been presented does not justify that replacement based on condition and stated needs. So I guess my in conclusion that I'm hearing more direction on the non-primary facade right now. So
I think you're accurate in that. We have a difference of opinion, though slight, between restoration or non-restoration. My personal take is I have to agree with Commissioners House and Commissioner Pham. In the walkthrough, I saw nothing that would lead me to believe that restoration was out of the question for the west facade. As far as the steel windows on the north and south, I could let those go without a problem. And I'm really not concerned with the east facade.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
So it looks like we're going to, in some way, have at least three different window styles, no matter how the boat goes. Steel.
Yeah, potentially,
clad,
yes.
And then either a restoration or in-kind replacement. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have obvious different maintenance problems and schedules for all three. They're all going to be different. So why could not we incorporate for the Pacific elevation the restoration and only those having an interior storm, and you educate the inhabitants of how these operate? It's a smaller facade, but there are lots of windows. Since they're all going to be, you know, different anyway, is that something you think the management could handle?
Yeah, the management will do their best under any scenario. I agree that it makes it trickier to have this different profile of windows on different elevations. This sounds really silly, but I'm going to try it anyways, which is that in the interest of limiting the different types of windows, if we go with metal replacement on the north and south long facades and agree to use this pricier custom option on the east facade, does that in any way change the committee's or commission's feeling about applying it on them? Okay.
No.
Thought I'd try it out.
commissioners and applicants, we, due to the pressing nature of our agenda this evening, I have to, at this time, limit our debate until, unless you have an overwhelming question that needs to be answered, and we need to entertain a motion, and I would entertain a motion on the north facade first. Pardon me, the west facade. Thank you.
Pacific Avenue.
Pardon me?
Pacific Avenue.
Pacific Avenue.
Just
there
for
we go.
The record.
Commissioner House.
Sure. I will stumble forward.
You looked like you...
I just to move forward, I may craft this badly, so please help me. I move that the Tacoma Landmarks Preservation Commission reject the request to replace the windows at the Olympus Hotel on the Pacific Avenue facade, and that we recommend, or the appropriate term is require, restoration. Maybe simply just to say the motion is to reject
replacement.
Is and there to speak in another motion, not myself, but some other motion to the rest of the building. This motion is only Pacific Avenue.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Commissioners Luce and Pham. Is there a discussion on the motion? Hearing none, we will proceed to vote. All those in favor of the motion presented signify by saying aye.
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 Can we have a hand?
Those opposed, say no.
No.
All right. I believe the motion passes 7-1. All right. At this time, I would like to entertain a motion on the other three facades.
I propose that the Landmark Preservation Commission approve the north and south elevations of the Memphis Hotel at 815-819 be replaced with steel windows as submissions are made and approved by the Historic Preservation Officer, and that the east elevation be replaced with metal clad wood windows.
I believe that does cover it. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Commissioner King. Is there discussion on the motion?
Could you add a modification that if
you may.
Windows are removed, that they be salvaged?
Is that amenable to the motion maker? All right. That salvage and a salvage plan be in place prior to? All right. Any other discussion on the motion?
I wanted to ask that, I mean, we can definitely work with the applicant to try to figure out the best way to do that. However, on the flip side, it's been stated in this meeting that may not be a feasible alternative. And I don't know. I can't comment on that. But in that case, would that come back to the commission, or would the commission prefer that under advisement with the historic preservation officer, we find a feasible salvage plan? If we can't, we'll report back to the commission. Just let you know, but it shouldn't hold up the project.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, say no. Motion passes.
So we will have a decision written up for you, as well as, I guess, on both motions, just in terms of the process from here. The project involving the non-Pacific Avenue facades can be permitted as proposed immediately, and we can coordinate on that for the Pacific Avenue side from the point of the written decision being received. You have a 10-day appeal window, and we can discuss that further.
Okay. Thank you all very much.
Thank you. Moving on, item 3B, new business, Murray Morgan Bridge. Paint color, Tom Rutherford. Would you please join us at the microphones? And we'll begin with the staff report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So this is the Murray Morgan Bridge at 11th Street crossing the Theophos Waterway. Built in 1913, the bridge was designed by the firm Waddell & Harrington and is listed on the Tacoma, Washington and National Registers of Historic Places. It's an early example of a center lift span bridge with a high deck and a sloping grade, and is a unique bridge, the only bridge of its kind in Washington State, and a good example of Waddell & Harrington, which built quite a few of these bridges nationwide. In December 2009, the city took ownership of the bridge. Right now, the city is seeking a direction approval regarding paint color. And several photo simulations have been included with the staff report and historic photographs, which I think also Mr. Rutherford and Mr. Parvey will be presenting. There, in front of everybody, we actually included a new set of renderings because a green and a dark orange option were added as renderings to the pages, and so those didn't go out with the packet. At any rate, the bridge has been painted several colors over the years. The WashDOT's cultural resource staff has indicated a preference that the bridge be painted to color that matched the color that it had during its historic period, which those two colors we understand are originally black and then an aluminum silver color from the 1940s. The city does need to direct its contractors regarding paint color soon because of the final paint color also affects the primer selection and other milestones, and work is scheduled to begin in the spring. Because it's a skyline feature of Tacoma and because of the long process this evolved to preserve the bridge, this is an important choice and one of a significant public interest. Staff recommends that the commission consider this under Secretary of the Interior Standard Number 5. Distinctive features, materials, finishes, and construction techniques are examples of craftsmanship that characterize a property will be preserved, and offers the following analysis. Built in 1913, the 11th Street Bridge, or Murray Morgan Bridge, is listed on the Tacoma, Washington, and National Registers of Historic Places. By virtue of being on the Tacoma Register of Historic Places, it is subject to the review and approval of the Landmarks Commission for visible changes. The original color of the bridge is black, which is consistent with bridge architecture of this period. It's been repainted several times, including silver, gray, and light blue, and the most recent paint job dates from the 1970s. The current options, this is item number 4, the current options for the proposed paint colors include black with an unpainted span above the water pipe or silver with an unpainted lift span. However, I will say that I think that there's probably more on the table than that at this particular time, and I'll I think that Mr. Rutherford will have more to say on that. And so staff just recommends the adoption of that analysis and defers a recommendation to the commission, and that concludes the staff report.
All right. Do you have any comments that you would like to add, or do you want to go into your presentation, or both?
Mr. Chair, Commissioners, I'd like to go through the presentation. My name is Tom Rutherford. I'm with Public Works Engineering. I'm the project manager for the rehabilitation of the bridge. Beside me is Jim Parvey. He's the city engineer. I'll try to go through this quickly. As Ruben stated, the bridge was completed in 1913. The city owned the bridge until 1957, when the state took over the bridge as part of State Route 509. When the state relocated 509 to the south of the port in the late 90s, they looked at two things. One, trying to give the bridge back to the city, or the other option was to tear down the bridge. There was a movement by citizens' committees and the city council to say, no, we want to save the bridge. And at the end of 2009, we were able to come up with a solution to turn back the bridge and receive some funding for the rehabilitation of the bridge. The bridge has been closed to traffic since 2007 because of structural issues. And then just recently in November, we had a theft on the bridge, which is made it inoperable, so currently it's stuck in the up position, but and no longer available for pedestrian traffic. As Ruben mentioned, it's on the National Register of Historic Places. It was put on in 1982. This is a rehabilitation, not a restoration project. We are attempting to keep the silhouette of the bridge. There are some things that we have to do to the bridge to bring it up to current codes. As a result of that, because there is federal funding, we've gone through a Section 106 process. We developed a mitigation plan for the bridge to address those areas that we have to change with the bridge. There is a memorandum of agreement between the city, the Federal Highway Department, WASDOT, and the State Historical Preservation Officer that directs the rehabilitation of the bridge. And we do plan on having this back in service to traffic, all traffic, by the end of 2012. As was mentioned earlier, the issue before you today is the paint color. The historical color of the bridge was black, and we have been able to reproduce the actual color. I'll pass that around. I only have one of those. It was a glossy black color. The next color that was painted in 1946 was an aluminum color, basically a silver which weathered to gray. The current bridge colors, you can see a little bit of everything on there. The green color you see sort of in the right-hand side on the girders that support the old roadway is green that was painted in 1964. The entire bridge was painted that color. For some reason, when it was painted in the 70s, they decided not to repaint that. The truss bands are painted, were painted space blue in 1974. And then the girders on the city approach were painted in 1976, and they were painted a Viking gray. And these are the renderings that you have in your package. We probably would change the color of the control or the mechanical room that's right now shown as a yellowish color to match the bridge. One of the issues is the truss over the lift span was replaced by the state in the 70s with an aluminum truss instead of the original steel truss. We have not planned on painting that for a couple of reasons. One, because it is aluminum, it's not subject to the corrosion we're seeing on the rest of the bridge. When you paint aluminum, most of the time you powder coat it in controlled conditions in a shop. It will be very difficult to paint the truss span over the bridge. And the other is we did not get all the money we were hoping from the state to rehabilitate the bridge, and this is one of the areas that we thought we could possibly not incur a cost. This is just a couple of the other views of the black. The next color is the silver. And this color would match the overhead truss pretty closely. Another color that's been suggested is to use a color that's currently used on a bridge in the city, which is the Narrows Bridge. And this color was painted in the 1960s. However, it's not considered one of the historic colors of the bridge over 50 years, in place over 50 years ago. And another color that's been suggested by a citizen is to paint it, and it doesn't show up as well here, but a color similar to what's on the Urban Waters building on the Foss Waterway, which is sort of a burnt orange. Our current status, as was alluded, we do have a contractor on board. It's a design build project. They were put under contract the 1st of January. They have completed their painting containment system. Basically, we have to completely shrink wrap the bridge in order to get the lead paint off of the bridge and protect the environment. We're over the Theophos Waterway, which was a Superfund cleanup. So we've got to protect the environment during this activity. We are planning a groundbreaking ceremony for April 19th, and the contractor plans to begin erecting the containment system right after that. One of the ideas for the groundbreaking ceremony, since we don't really have dirt that we're going to be, that we can shovel, was to have the dignitaries have a paintbrush and paint a segment, you know, of the with the color that it's going to end up being. So what we are requesting from the Landmarks Commission is a recommendation of a color to paint the bridge, and if you could accomplish that by your or at your meeting on April 13th, that would help us meet our schedule. As mentioned earlier, they will start painting probably early May. One of the first things is to prime it, and that primer color depends on the final color selected for the bridge.
The contractor has requested that we provide them with a guidance by mid-April, so that's the other, that's really the more important reason we're trying to get a decision.
Any questions?
I have a question.
Yes.
I really like the idea of the black because it is original and it would be prominent and so forth, but I don't like it because you don't read the crossband in the middle, which is a very prominent part of this bridge. Is there any possibility of looking at the structure, not doing the web, but just doing the like four major cross spans in black, but not the web of the truss?
Oh, I know what you mean.
Oops. And while we're waiting, just I think everybody
it's
sees.
It's really visible in this picture or this picture.
Some reds.
We just help it read more.
So,
the close-up black one.
So
yes.
You're talking what? Which to
the cross span across the two towers.
Okay.
Not doing the web of the truss, just the four. There are four from this. There are like four major cross members.
The supports.
The horizontal members.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just doing those in black.
Thank you.
We could check. Again, we have the problem that it's very difficult to paint aluminum.
I know.
As, outside.
And I really like the black. That's one of the problems is I want the whole structure to read.
One of our concerns is, you know, what we've heard is from the contractor is too that the maintenance of that is going to be, we're going to have to repaint it more often.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The aluminum?
Yes.
Yeah.
So you run the risk of having something that looks like it's peeling, the paint's peeling off, and that There's also an area where you have to be roped off to access up there, so it's not the easiest access point on the bridge.
Commissioner King.
These appear to be painted. Is that just computer tricks?
That's a computer generated.
Are they going to be cleaned?
They are going to be cleaned. What we are also planning to do there is, there's a bunch of spall repairs that will be done to the bridge. There's a lot of exposed rebar and uneven surface. That will be done as part of the rehabilitation.
Are there other comments by commissioners? Commissioner House.
Two comments. One was, I don't think I know what a Section 106 process is, and I think my second comment, and maybe third comment, would be I agree with Commissioner Sundell. The black seems appropriate. It's historic. It seems like it's something that can't be disputed, particularly, although it may very well be. I think my third comment is, incidentally, I was in Duluth in the 1980s several times, and I was just really surprised that they treat their aerial lift bridge as they almost venerate it, and it seems it's almost more significant to them than the space needle is to Seattle. So my point in that one was I looked at it online today, and it appeared to be silver, which I think would be my second choice if we're not going to do black for some reason. But I really appreciate this process in trying to raise the significance of this structure in Tacoma to maybe not that level, but to understand that there is a city in America where the aerial lift bridge is the most important thing in the city. It seems to be. They've got beautiful architecture, so I think this is a very important discussion. So I vote black.
Commissioner King.
I guess I have to take a different perspective from Pamela. I thought her point that a unified color was appropriate, and in as much as the cross, what do you call that thing across the top?
Just be the probably the struts go across the.
Anyhow, in as much as that. Must be silver. I think the rest of the bridge should be silver too.
Okay. Are there any other comments?
Well, I would. I'll just mimic that. In my mind, black's the choice. But it was the original color. It was a fairly classic color for bridges of this type and this vintage. Not only in Tacoma, but in other places. And in my mind, that's notwithstanding the comments about the aluminum, and that does pose a bit of a problem. But that piece in and of itself is not historic either. And so, at some point, I guess my mentality is that it almost wants to stand out as being not historic and not made to blend in as if it were. That my opinion is black is basically the only answer.
If there are no other comments, I would entertain a motion at this time.
I move that the Tacoma Historic Landmarks Preservation Commission recommend that the 11th Street Bridge be painted black with the exclusion of the aluminum non-historic portion.
Is there second by Commissioner Luce? Is there discussion on the motion? Hearing none, we will proceed to vote. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed say no.
No.
One no. The motion passes. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
At this time, I will, as we are beyond our original time allotted for this meeting, I will dispense with the chair's comments, and item 5B will be postponed until our April 13th meeting, and that indicates preservation month activities and a report. do we want to just launch into Old Town as far as the field visit, or do we want to just go into item six?
What I would suggest, if it's all right with the commission, is that since we did indicate the 6 p.m. start for the information session, there's quite a few people here. I'm assuming they're here for that and not for something else.
Right.
And so I would recommend probably that the commission adjourn the meeting, and we'll continue with the public information session. The commission is not does not need to stay for the information session. This is going to be an informal Q&A where staff and anybody else who wishes to answer questions or talk to people about the Old Town proposal may do so. We could either pick up the field visit discussion afterward or at the next agenda meeting, whichever is preferable.
It would be my preference to do it at the next agenda meeting, if that would be amenable to the rest of the commissioners.
That's agreeable to me.
If I hear no objections, we will adjourn. Adjourned.
So I'm just going to... I'm going to launch right in ahead. And while everybody here is cleaning up, my name is Ruben McKinney.